if the scripture was read that from 15 to 21, the promise of the Holy Spirit, was that what was read? No, I didn't think it was. Okay, it's all right because the Bible print is very small. That's why this one's here. Okay, let me just get organized, and I'll be reading a little different scripture, but you know what? The Lord is good and will be blessed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come to that place now where we're going to listen. And we thank you that you call ministers to allow the Holy Spirit just to use us. So whatever I say today, Lord, it isn't for me per se, it's for all of us. It's for your glory. So open up my mouth that I will say only what you would have me say and teach only what you would have me teach. Thank you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We will get to the promise of the Holy Spirit, I promise you. Now, our sermon title there is Help Me God, I Can't Do Anything Right. Anybody ever said that before? If I don't see all of your hands up today, I'm going to wonder about you. Help me God. And quite often, we haven't even put help me God in front of it. We've just said to ourselves, I can't do anything right. Have you done that?
Yes.
Okay. That's what we call self-talk. And that has to change. Because in Christ, we heard Jesus say, cut off from me, you're right. You can't do anything. But he said, through me, all things are made possible. So no longer should we be hanging our heads down, feeling sorry for ourselves, thinking, I can't do anything right. We can do all things right through him who strengthens us. The two lines under that particular title are these. God doesn't give us what we can handle. God helps us handle what we are given. How many of us throughout our lives, earlier I'll say, avoided a lot of people, a lot of situations, so you wouldn't have to handle them? Just one, two, three, oh, four, five. Okay. I hope and pray by our ages now, we're maturing enough in Christ to know that we need only to take his hand. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but take his hand and walk through those things. Because when we do, we are blessed. And that's what we're going to learn from these two scriptures today. The first one being in John 14, 15, 21, the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is telling his disciples. And in 1 Peter, we see that we suffer for doing right sometimes. And how are we going to deal with this? So looking first of all at John 14, 15 to 21. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, just prior to that section, in the same chapter, Jesus had just finished saying to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. How fortunate for those in Jesus' time upon this earth. They got to see him. They got to hear him. They got to walk with him and learn from him. Well, we can still do the same because we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. And there are times when people will see Jesus. He will appear. We think, oh, well, what's she talking about now? But he does, and he can. But how much more fulfilling it is for him that we believe without seeing, that he sees our faith. So listen to what he says next. And I will ask, and here we go. This is printed for you in the bulletin as well, under the sermon title, in the dark square there. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you. How long?
Forever.
The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now, I like it where it says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. What does that mean? Another advocate. I hope you know, because it's the bottom line of our faith. We were baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit. God is the creator of the universe, the sustainer of life. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, who took away, O Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world. And he promises the Holy Spirit, which is our teacher, our guide, our comforter, our advocate. We need him. And we need to understand the three in one, one in three. And I'm so happy that you always sing, Holy, 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 because it reminds us of the foundation of the church. You cannot be totally functional as a Christian if you do not understand those three, three in one, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here he is, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you and he will be in you, abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus says. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, that you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And I like this. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you and me, and I and you. And it gets better. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So no excuses. These pews should be jam-packed. Okay? If we do what the Word of God asks us to do through Christ, God said, I'll draw all men unto you. So you want your church to grow like every church I've preached in? Get into the Word. Receive the Holy Spirit. You've received it at your baptism. Now you have to say, okay, God, I'm yours. I'm ready. Empty me. Take all the garbage out of my life that is offensive to you, and put your holiness, your purity, your love, your patience, your kindness, all these things into our hearts, because that is when the church is really gonna boom again. I believe we can turn the world around, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Don't let the enemy steal from us anymore. He's had enough. He's had enough. Then when we travel to 1 Peter chapter 3, this is suffering for doing right. Anybody had that happen? Suffering for doing right? Believe me, as a minister, every 5 minutes. And it used to really, really upset me. And I pray for your sakes that it doesn't upset you anymore. When we get so founded on the Word of God and so full of our understanding of who we are in Christ, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. We're here to please him, not each other, him. And by pleasing him, we should see the joy of the Lord in each other and be pleased to be in this church or to be in any church that lifts up the name of Jesus. And in 1 Peter, it says now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? If we're eager to serve God, who can harm us? Our difficulty is, and I'm going to challenge you here. They say I challenge you every time, so I'm going to. Our challenge is this week to even take, well, I'll go small for you. Take an hour and see how much time within the 1 hour you're thinking of yourself. Try it for a day or a week. We got to stop all that. Stop thinking about ourselves all the time. God has promised to look after us. Look to serve. Look to serve. Look to bring other people into his kingdom. We pray it every Sunday, if not every day in our homes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven isn't about all our hoarding and collecting and all of that stuff. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's just that if we're spending more time on all these things instead of what's of heavenly value, love and mercy and grace and forgiveness, let's open up. The people will come. They'll be in awe that St. Andrew's, Niagara on the Lake, there's something really special there. And then when they come and ask you, what is it? You know what it is. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit, and you're walking in the Spirit of the living God, and you can share that with them. But only if it's real for you. If it's not, then it'll be the same old status quo in all the churches. And, well, we hope people will come. Well, it's raining today. I think I'll stay in bed. But if you truly love the Lord and you're excited and you've met him personally, you're going to want to come and you're going to want to tell other people. The only reason I can stand up here and preach, it isn't because I'm any different than you are. It's only because I'm called to do this particular job. But we're all called as Christians to share our faith. In my generation growing up, and you'll know this, we were taught, you don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. Well, we've got to stop that. We've got to talk about Jesus. Look at the news. Look at the television. Look at the internet. I'm sick of it. All the junk that's on there. Another musician commits suicide. That should never be. We have everything in Christ. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's here right now within us. So, now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. You are blessed. I used to think, well, I tried to do something right and so-and-so said this about me, so I'm just not going to do that anymore. And well, I'll see what I say to them the next time. And you're smiling, some of you, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's our flesh. That's our flesh. That's our flesh. And that's what we've got to die to. Die to the flesh. That means get rid of yourself. It's not a bad thing, folks. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life, and it's only going to get better. And it will for all of you too. Die to that flesh. Get rid of the pride. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. Because one day, as I've said many times, Jesus will return. And I want to be filled with him when that happens. I'm not filled with guilt and shame. Because, oh yeah, I knew I was supposed to do that. But, you know, I really didn't have the time. I was busy. That's not going to cut it on that day. He'll still love us because he's a gracious, marvelous God. You know yourself, I'm thinking of an example. Parents, you know you work hard for your kids and your grandkids. And if they didn't appreciate that, what's it feel like? Not too nice, huh? Well, he's our Heavenly Father. Imagine what he feels like when we do listen to his word and we do do what he wants us to do and we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit instead of ourselves. Wow. We could change the world. I keep saying that to churches. We can change the world in Christ. But you got to believe. Do not fear what they fear, meaning the world, and do not be intimidated. But in your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord. In other words, give him authority in here. Right in here. In the midst of our life, give him authority. In the midst of that huge trial that everybody's probably got one of right now, give him authority. And listen for his voice. Read his word. And he'll show us what to do and where to go. and how to do it. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. I was at Superstore in the garden area, the plants and everything. And it's interesting because I just ask God, let me be open to the people I meet. I want to serve. And this one girl was watering and they were all sort of upset because the hoses were all around my feet. And I said, who cares? It doesn't matter. And we just got chatting away. And the next thing I know, she was telling me she was moving. She was moving to Calgary. Her husband is becoming a minister. He's in his last year. And so I was able to say, well, I'm a minister too. And our conversation went from there. And I was able to share what it's like to be a minister in your first few years and the hardships that he will go through and what he can do to help himself with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God has people that cross your path. And he wants you to be ready. Open. Lord, help me say whatever you have for me to say and do for this person. Again, get your mind off yourself. I could have stood there and thought, well, I'm busy, and yes, this hose is in my way, and for goodness sakes. But I didn't. I stopped thinking about me and thought about her. I didn't know she was going to tell me her husband was going to be a minister. Farthest thing from my mind. But I was open. And when you're open, God can use us. And if we, you know, so many times when I do that, people say, where is your church? Well, I don't have a church right now. But they would come. So you see, they're going to ask you the same thing. Well, where do you go to church? And you could easily say, well, I go to St. Andrew's, Niagara-on-the-Lake, and you know what? Things are really happening there. The Spirit is moving, and we love it. That's what you should be able to say. I pray that's what you are saying. That's going to bring the people. Because they know about pride. They know about selfishness and unforgiveness and all of these things. That's out there in the world in spades. So why don't we show them the other side? The side of light instead of darkness. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. Many's the time, Satan will bring the evil into our pathway because he wants to destroy Christians. That's his goal. Before the Lord returns, he wants to get as many of us as he can. So when a trial comes, when I say walk through it, take his hand, walk through it, and we will be blessed, there's something on the other side that we need to learn. But if we just walk away and avoid it, we're going to be like the Israelites going around for 40 years in the wilderness, around and around and around. You don't want to do that. Life is short. We've talked about that. Once you hit 50, off we go. I wish, and you all say this, I'm sure, I wish I knew then what I know now. What a different life. But we can make it good now. We can take those few years, if they are a few or many. My dad's 98, my aunt's 105. So I'm banking on it that I'm going to be around for a while and keep going and keep getting better and stronger and more courageous in the Lord. And that's for everybody. It's not just for me. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. It is done. It is finished. We are in the presence of God right now. Every day, put your feet on the floor in the morning or even before you get out of bed. You're in the presence of God. Talk to him. Talk to him like I talk to you. And you talk to me before church even. There were some funny things going on before church. I won't look at Gloria because it makes me laugh. Anyway, it was fun. But that's what we got to be. We got to have fun. We got to be open. God is a fun God. He's not a meanie. Yes, we upset him when we sin, because wouldn't you be upset if you gave your son and we're still doing the wrong things? My goodness, he can't do any more than what he's done. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight people, were saved through water. Remember what they did with the ark and with Noah. They laughed at him. They scoffed at him. Well, who got the last laugh? And it will be the same for all Christians. There are people venomously against Christians out there. But we'll see who will have the victory in the end. But we must love those that come against us. Bless our enemies. One of the first things I say when I get up in the morning, God bless my enemies. If we don't do that, we get caught up in all kinds of junk, unforgiveness, anger, frustration, and our minds are thinking about that instead of thinking about how God can help us and renew us. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. So let's read that sermon title together. Help me, God. I can't do anything right. And underneath it follows, God doesn't give us what we can handle. God helps us handle what we are given. And so read the part in John 14:16 as well. So, and take this home and put it on your fridge. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But guess what? You know him. And so when you leave here today and you just about say to yourself, I can't do, oh, no, wait a minute. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And cut off from him, yes, we can't do anything, but through him we can. And God doesn't give us what we can handle. God helps us handle what we are given. Read those scriptures again for yourselves and just study them and be refreshed and renewed in the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to that moment now where we pray and praise you for your word. You've shown us everything. You gave us the promised Holy Spirit. It all happened at Pentecost. And all we need to do is receive and believe. And you do the rest. You will show us that perfect plan that you have for each of us. Oh God, we pray for those in authority all over the world. We need to be praying for them daily, that they would get down on their knees, even if they don't believe, that you will even put them on their knees, and they will begin to realize that they need you. You are our first love. Marriages need you. Single people need you. Children need you. Those in authority need you. We all need you. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for what you teach us in your word. It is finished. We have it all. We just have to let it happen. We just have to be willing to change. Willing to get ourselves off our minds and serve others. Bring them into the kingdom of the everlasting God. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are ill in the congregation, perhaps today or throughout the weeks before or waiting for surgery. Lord God, bless each one with the realization that you are the great physician. By your stripes we are healed, and we need to be confessing healing scriptures with our own lips. Oh God, take away our pride. And let people see us for who we really are. We make mistakes. We fall down. But you pick us up. And we need to be sharing with one another and praying with one another. Not criticizing, not fault finding. But loving with the love of God. We pray for this world and all the situations in it. to come under the authority of the great Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.